Well, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Let me go ahead and get the slides up here, and we'll get started. Is it up? Great. We're going to start a new series today. I don't really know how long it's going to last. Our title is The Seven Yoms of Prayer. Today we're going to address the overall theme of the series, and we're going to tackle the first yom. Not to say that this is going to take 7 weeks. It's probably going to take more like three or so. We'll see how it goes. But the reason that we're doing this is while preparing for the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread, we discussed several areas, if you'll recall, of where we are to examine ourselves. And I made a statement during one of those messages that's been kind of resonating in the back of my mind, and I haven't been able to let go of it. I said this, the condition of your prayer life reflects the true status of your relationship with God. The condition of your prayer life reflects the true status of your relationship with God. The people of God move forward on their knees, and we can understand all the doctrine the Bible has to offer, but if we're not praying, then that knowledge is not profiting us. It's not pushing forward and causing the relationship that God wants us to have with Him. So I want to make a statement right now at the beginning of this. I want you to listen, because this is it. If you can grasp a hold of what is coming in this series and diligently apply it, it will change your life. It will change your life. I can say that unequivocally, because God is in the business of changing lives, and He does it through relationship. It may not fit some of these things that we're going to talk about right first. It might feel clunky. You might feel uneasy about it. You're weird. But you know, guys, that's just the flesh. And in order to get out of this, what I hope you get out of it, it's going to take you pressing through that flesh. Prayer is probably the most powerful force on earth that man can wield, because literally it taps into the power of God. And there is no other power greater than the power of God. This series is going to challenge you to change and strengthen your prayer life. Because really, prayer is our highest calling as believers. It is how we operate on this earth as kings and priests, and how we interface with the heavenly realm. In Jeremiah 33, it says, "Call to me, and I'll answer you. I'll show you great and mighty things which you do not know." He says here that He will answer, that He will answer. There's no secretary. There's no voicemail or text messaging. He says He will answer. And we're going to learn in this series how to make that call. How to call on Him. How to pray in a way that causes and allows Him, in a legally, so to speak, to respond. Okay? How to address God so that He will answer you. And He will, as this verse says, as Jeremiah proclaimed, will show you great and mighty things. We're going to see how to really pray the way that Yeshua instructed us and to pray, how He modeled it for us to pray. We're going to look at the seven yoms of prayer. All right, seven yoms of prayer. What's a yom? Well, a yom is a unit of measurement of time. It's a Hebrew word, and it's a measurement of time. Now, a yom can refer to, because it's a measurement of time, it can refer to a day. There's times where it refers to seasons, okay, or other spaces of time. So I could have just as easily titled this the 7 days of prayer, or even the 7 seasons of prayer. I could have titled it a week of prayer, because there's 7. But I didn't, because it doesn't help you wrap your mind around the whole concept that I'm trying to get to here. We've got 7 yoms and 7 seasons, 7 parts or 7 days of prayer. And when you go through all 7 of them, you have in the Hebrew what's called a Sheba. Now, Sheba is a very interesting word. It's the word for 7, but it's also the word for week. And it's also the word for complete. That's where we get this idea of 7 being the number of completion, okay? When the week, creation week, when the week got to 7, it was complete. When the week got to 7, it was complete. And so they had this one word that tied all that kind of together. They would have said, when the Sheba got to Sheba, it was Sheba. Okay? But they would have known in context what they were talking about. When the week got to 7, it was complete. When we have 7 yoms of prayer, it's complete. Just like a week is complete and makes a Sheba. Interestingly, the word Sheba shares the root with covenant. Okay, so hopefully with this title, now when you think about the 7 yoms of prayer, it'll mean more to you than just, you know, 7 points about prayer or 7 whatever about prayer. It should mean a complete picture or model of what prayer should be. A Sheba of prayer. A Sheba of prayer. Now that could have been a good title too. All right, either one, you pick. We find the 7 yoms of prayer in Matthew 6, 9 through 13. We've looked at it before. Many call it the Lord's Prayer. We were talking about it earlier. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, all the way through that. All right. You know, it's not really the Lord's Prayer. If you'll recall, on Passover, I read to you guys the prayer that the Lord prayed on our behalf. That was his prayer, okay? This in Matthew 6, 9 through 13 is a model prayer. Now, many repeat it as a prayer, and I suppose that's bad, but it's not what Yeshua intended, and it's not what he taught it to be, okay? Yeshua described it as a model. In Matthew 6, verse 9, he says, "In this manner, therefore, pray." In this manner, according to this way, according to this model, pray. He wasn't instructing them to repeat the prayer. Fact is, just 2 verses above this, in verse 7, he said, "When you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do." And then he gives a model, and what's everybody do? They take it and use it as vain repetitions and that they think they'll be heard for their many words. When we realize that the model given by Yeshua here, when we analyze it, we find that there is a Sheba, or a complete week or parts to effective prayer. It's a model of the complete week that we are given. Okay? You think about that. We are what? To labor 6 days, right? And then we're to rest on the 7th. Okay? And you're going to see that it's the same with the 7 yoms of prayer, or a Sheba of prayer, that we labor for 6 days, for 6 parts of this, and then we rest. And we listen. It's a Sheba of prayer. In Colossians 4:12, we read one of the saints laboring in prayer for the brethren. Over and over in the Bible, we read of God's people being fervent in prayer, long-suffering in prayer, laboring in prayer. In the model in Matthew 6, we see 6 days or periods of labor in prayer that we should spend time in, and then a time to rest and listen to what God says. That's 7 yoms, and it's a complete Sheba of prayer. This series will seek to break out the 7 yoms of prayer, as shown in Matthew 6, that was taught to us directly by God. He said, in this manner, pray. This was teaching directly from Yeshua. So let's look at it. In this manner, therefore, pray, it says, starts in verse 9, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now let's break that down. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's approach. Our Father in heaven, we're approaching God. Hallowed be thy name. That's praise. What I'm doing right now is I'm giving you the 7 yoms, okay? And then we're gonna break each one of these down. So the rest of the time we're gonna look at number 1 today. All right, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is that? That is intercession. We're praying for God's will. We're praying for intercession on behalf of the world and other things, okay? Give us this day our daily bread. This is the part of prayer where we have supplication and petition for our own needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. There's a yom of prayer that involves confession and forgiveness. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is spiritual warfare. Okay? For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We finish off much like we start, in that we worship and we express our faith and our confidence and our trust in God. And then lastly, we say what? Amen. We be quiet. We rest and we listen. That's the 7 yoms of prayer. And this is how Yeshua taught us to pray. This is how he said to pray. A Sheba of prayer. A complete covenanted time of prayer. During our day, you know, we pray quickly sometimes. We express our thanksgiving over meals. We may have a quick intercession for somebody when we find out they're, you know, somebody's ill, or you know, we have problems at work and we need some guidance and wisdom, and we pray different things. And that's not the sort of prayer that I'm talking about with the 7 yoms of prayer. What I'm talking about here in this series is that time where you set apart your personal time with the Father and you go to Him in prayer. When you go into your inner room, or as the Bible calls it, your prayer closet, Yeshua says you need a Sheba of prayer. And that's the type of prayer that we're addressing here. To pray in this manner, according to this model, when you understand all of its ramifications, and hopefully you will when the series is done, it will change your life, but it's got to be applied. You have to persevere and press through this. It's, you know, in a lot of ways, it's got to be planned. The time has to be set aside. And for it to be as important of a of an appointment of as any other appointment that you would ever make. Okay, you can use this model, and you can go through each of these in minutes. You can use the same model, and you can take 10 hours as you expand upon it. Sometimes you'll focus a little more in on one than the other, but you'll have a Sheba of completeness when you work through these. In the remainder of our time today, we're going to look at the first Yom. The first Yom, approach and praise. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. What we see here really are just four important words. The rest of it's kind of filler, right? We see Father, heaven, hallowed, name. So what I'm going to do is we're going to look at each one of these four words. And as we do that, we're going to learn how to properly approach God, how to be in the proper frame of mind of who God is, who you are addressing, and how it is that you come into His presence. We learn in these four words how to approach and praise God. Our approach and praise to God opens the door and sets the stage for the rest of the prayer. Not only for God, but a lot more importantly, probably, is you. You are setting yourself and your mind to be in the presence of Yahweh. Okay? So it's important we understand this portion. It's why I'm going to spend so much time on the first Yom of prayer. This is the only Yom we're going to talk about today because it's that important. So let's look at these four words. We're going to start with Father. Galatians 4:6 says, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father." We approach God as Father. And this in and by itself is a marvelous and wonderful thing. An adequate father provides for, loves, and cares for his children. And God is not just adequate. He's a perfect father with perfect love for us. This tells us that we can think of him as our Abba, Father. We've covered what that means before. You know that Abba, Father, was the most intimate name that a child would use to address their dad. Okay, it denotes a condition within that relationship of closeness and intimacy and openness. Okay, so try to capture the distinction here. In one sense, God is the Father, is He not, of every single human being, right? It says here that because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son in your heart, crying out, Abba, Father. So there's a difference here. It says, because you are sons, you can call Him Abba, Father. So in one sense, everybody has God as the Father, doesn't he? But it is only through this sonship that the Spirit of the Son in you makes you call Him Abba, Father. See, we have a saying that, any male can be a father. But it takes a special person to be a daddy. Any male can father a child, but do they stick around? Are they a daddy? Okay. Well, Abba was how a child called his or her father, daddy. And we approach as a child. In 1 John 3, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." God has covered in His Word every analogy possible to show us that that we are His children. He left no stone unturned. If you think about it, there's only three ways that you can become a child, that you can come into a family. You're either born into the family, you're adopted in the family, or you come in by covenant, contract, marriage. You either birthed, adopted, or marry into the family. That's only three ways you get in the family. And can you not think of analogies in the Bible for all three of these? We're born again, aren't we? We're adopted as sons. We become joint heirs with Christ. We're grafted in to the nation of Israel, into that family. We're adopted into that family. And Christ says when he comes back that he's going to marry his bride, marry the church. He's covered it in every way possible to give us the absolute assurance that we are his children. And he's not just our father, but he's our daddy, our Abba Father. And we're taught by Yeshua here to approach him in just that manner. Now, how you verbalize that is up to you. You know, I'm not going to give you some magic model for what to say. But be open. You can call him daddy if you want. Express your thankfulness that he's not just your father, but your Abba Father, your daddy father. The next word is heaven. Our Father in heaven. Now, it's interesting that he said this because, you know, there is an earthly realm and there's a heavenly realm, isn't there? All through Ephesians, you can read about the heavenly places. I don't know how many times it says in the heavenly places in Ephesians. When we approach the Father, we're coming into the heavenly realm. When we go to the throne, we are connecting this realm to the heavenly one. The point I want to make here is that we are not bringing the Father to us. We are approaching the Father. Where is he? In heaven. Now, we know that heaven isn't some far-off place. We know that heaven is a realm. Heaven is, we could see it if we had eyes to see. But our eyes just reflect light in certain spectrums. We can't see the heavenly realm, but the heavenly host is right here. When we go to the Father in prayer, we go through that with our mouths and we come before the Father in heaven. We are approaching the throne of God. I mean, that's bold, is it not? But isn't that what we're supposed to do? In Hebrews 4:16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Where does this boldness come from? From our works? Does it come from our Bible knowledge and how good we are at doctrine? No. It doesn't come from anything that we do. We have boldness to enter the heavenly realm through one thing, the blood of Yeshua. Under the old covenant, only the high priest entered the Holy of Holies, and they did that just once a year on atonement. And he had to go through all these things. We've talked about this before. I'm just reminding you that if he did anything wrong after a whole day of preparation and he stepped into that Holy of Holies missing something, he was struck down immediately to the point where they tied a rope on him because nobody else was going to go in there and pull him out. Okay? That's how important it is that when we come before God, when we come before the Father in heaven at his throne, that we do it in a condition that allows us not to get burned up. And what is that? That is to have the blood of Yeshua. So we come to the Father through the blood of Yeshua. We say in Yeshua's name at the end of our prayers, but this should be also established right from the very beginning, because our boldness comes from the blood and body and name of Yeshua. It is through him that we have access. It is through that blood that we have the key to the throne room. And it's that covering. I've talked about The white robe of Christ's righteousness coming over us. It's that covering that protects us and keeps us from being destroyed when we go in to the throne room. Okay? And then you need to understand that in that throne room is not only your daddy, but the ruler of the universe. A universe run with what? Design, precision, and law. It's governed, and it's just, and it's righteous. Therefore, because of that, there's a hierarchy. Now, we know that God has given Satan a certain amount of rule on this earth right now. Now, it's within restrictions, of course. But God intervenes when he's asked. And that's what I was saying by allowing or giving God the legal, if you will, ability to respond to you. What do I mean by that? I mean that he has set up law. He has set up hierarchy. He has given dominion and he's given power. And so he's not going to usurp that which he has given. Unless he is asked, okay, right, by a higher authority, by one of his children. I want you to look at this. It says, this was another one. I'm sorry, I missed this one. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Yeshua. That's our more of our boldness. But look at this in James 4. Okay. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. See, God's a gentleman. He doesn't intrude unless he's invited. It's why we have to pray for things even though we know they are God's will. He's waiting for you to ask. See, I had a hard time with this for a long time because I had enough, I guess I had in some way too much faith. I mean, I knew that God knew that I needed that, or God knew that this situation was, and I was thinking about it and I was kind of talking to him about it, in my head or whatever. And I didn't understand that he's waiting for me to come and ask. He wants us to ask. He wants that relationship with us. He's waiting. I've said this before, that it's our words, it's what we can say. Sound is the only thing that we have that crosses that realm from the physical into the heavenly realm. There's angels and beings that stand at the ready to help us. But they can't engage until they get a request from the children of the Most High that enables them to go to work. Realize this as you think about it. The point is, our Father in heaven. You're talking to the other realm at the throne of God with a heavenly host around him that are also listening. Because when you pray out loud, they can hear you. And they're waiting to be put to work. Yeshua knew this. He said in Matthew 26, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you not think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he'll provide me with more than 12 legions of angels?" He knew that heavenly realm was just right there, and all he had to do was just pray. Just say it. That's what praying is. It's talking. So all I had to do was just talk to my Father, and he'll provide me with 12 legions of angels. It's right there. You realize you open up access when you approach Him correctly. And you're approaching Him in heaven. Okay, our next word is hallowed. What does hallowed mean? The American Heritage Dictionary defines it as sanctified, consecrated, and highly venerated. To hallow is to make or set apart as holy, to respect or honor greatly, to revere. So in other words, we often use hallowed to refer to someone that we want to treat with awe and respect because they're deserving of it. And we are to hallow the name of God. Hallowed be your name. From a biblical context, in this case, hallowed means to set apart for praise. Remember that. When you see that, hallowed be your name, think, set apart. I'm going to set apart His name for praise. Hallowed, to set apart for praise. And it says what? To praise what? The name. Hallowed be your name. When we come before Him, we are to praise His name. I didn't do a scan on this, but I can tell you that the phrase, praise the name of the Lord, how many times do you think that occurs in the Bible? It's a lot. I mean, it's a lot. And there are a ton of times. The first yom of prayer is approach and praise. And what are we to praise? His name. I heard Brian Zahn say a while back, and I'm going to drill this in your head today. So burn that in your mind. God will be to you who you praise Him to be. God will be to you who you praise Him to be. We are to praise God, to hallow the name, to set it apart for praise. And what are we praising? His name. And that's the last word we're going to look at. We're going to spend quite a bit of time on that. Which brings us to this. Name. As we're praising the name, we need to be absolutely clear of who we're praying to. You know, this isn't just any old God. This is the God. This is the only God. And we need to praise Him. You know? I mean, Father God, I praise You as Creator of all there is and was and is to come. Your power and Your glory are unsurpassed, Lord. You uphold all the universe by the word of Your power. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the great I Am, who reveals Himself as Yahweh, the self-existent one. Your name stands above all others. Praise His name. Glorify Him. Lift up His name. Put it in your words, but praise Him. Hallow His name. Set it apart for praise. Amen? Amen? To understand this more fully, we need to understand that the Hebrews had different naming customs than we do today. We have a name, and that's fine. It's just what somebody calls us. But to the Hebrews, they had names that were descriptive. They identified them physically, by some physical trait, or by their nature, or by their line of work, something. They named their children even in a way that would prophesy the children's mission in life. And because of this custom, the Israelites had many different names. We call them names, but I mean, God said His only name. His name is Yahweh. We've covered that. But the Israelites and God and Yahweh Himself used this method of names to describe Him, to talk about His characteristics. Each name reflected a different aspect of God's character. So God's names were considered by the Jews to be just as holy as God himself. In fact, God's names were and are so holy to the Jews that they don't ever write them down for fear of bringing disrespect to it and to God. They don't say Yahweh, and they don't write it down with the vowels in it. Instead, they use the word Jehovah. Okay? And we can pray through these various names, Jehovah names of God. If we're trying to pray, hallow the name, to set aside the name for praise, we can use these. It's just one way. I'm just giving this as an example of one way that we can magnify and praise the name. As you pray through and praise the various Jehovah names of God, you praise him for who he reveals himself to be, and then he becomes that to you. What did I say? God will be to you who you praise him to be. Through his Jehovah names, we find out who he is willing to be, what he has demonstrated in the past and has revealed himself to be. So we can praise him about those things. We come into agreement with him about it, and then he becomes those things to us. I hope you're catching that, because how powerful that is. I mean, you should be on the edge of your seat to find out what these names are. What are they? Because I want him. I want to know. Because I want to praise him for that, so he'll become that to me. Well, there's a lot of them, okay? I've printed off a few. I found this list on the internet. You know, there's some people say upwards of 30 or 40 of them. And I made copies. You guys can grab you one after we're done. But today I want to look, over the next few minutes, I want to look at seven of them so that you can kind of get an idea of how to pray through some of the names of Jehovah in order to lift up his name. And again, this is one way to do it. You know, other ways of doing it are looking through the Bible and you see a story of how he did this or that and was this person to that or this characteristic, and then you can go to him and you can praise him for that. Okay? But these Jehovah names of God are names and titles that display his characteristics. Okay, the first one I want to look at is Jehovah Tsidkenah. Jehovah Tsidkenah. In Jeremiah 23, in his days Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. You know, you can go in prayer, and when you're praying and you're trying to praise God, you can praise him for being your Jehovah Tsidkenah. For it is by his righteousness, isn't it, that you even have life, that you even have the ability to come into the Holy of Holies, to be before his throne. And you can praise him for that. So what does that do? That puts you in the right frame of mind, in the right spirit of humility, to say that God, I just praise you that you're my Jehovah Tsidkenah, that it's your righteousness that allows me to be before your throne. We can praise him that he shares his righteousness with us through his Spirit, through the sacrifice of Yeshua's blood. And as you praise him for that, he becomes your righteousness. It becomes real. He begins to respond that way. You engage with him in agreement with him. We have to engage in this stuff. We have to claim it, okay? Look here. In 2 Corinthians it says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Yeshua became Jehovah Sid Kana. Now remember, Jehovah is just the name. It just means God. So God righteousness. So you're not calling God Jehovah Sid Kanu. You're saying, you're acknowledging that He is your Jehovah, your God righteousness. Okay? Praise Him for being Jehovah Sid Kana. The next one, Jehovah Shalom. We all know what that means. Judges 6:24. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it "The Lord is Peace." Shalom means peace. He's the God of peace. Do you want peace? Do you want peace? Or do you want worry and strife and anxiety? Well, praise the God of peace. Praise Jehovah Shalom for being your peace. Praise Him for bringing peace into your life. Think of all the things that take our peace, you know, jobs, stress, relationships, you know, financial concerns, you know, health issues. Man, you know, the list could go on and on. But in the midst of it, we can have Jehovah Shalom. And we can praise Him for being that, and He will become that to us. We all want peace. And He'll bring that flow of peace to you. John 14, Yeshua said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." There it is. Promise of peace. You claim it by praising Jehovah Shalom for it. Here's one, Jehovah Kadosh. Leviticus 20, "And you shall keep my statutes and perform them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you." He's saying, I'm willing to sanctify you. Do we remember what sanctification is? It's set apart for holy use. Okay? Think of it this way. When we're saved, we are justified. You've heard that word, justification. We're justified. We're put in right position with God. When you go into Microsoft Word, first thing you do is tell what justification you're going to set this document in. It's either going to be landscape or portrait, right? That's the justification. When we are saved, we are set right, upright with God. We're in right standing with God. But sanctification is all about walking in that righteousness, being set apart for holy use. It's not positional, it's experiential. Being sanctified is reaping the benefits of a holy life, reaping the benefits of righteousness, reaping the benefits of walking it out. You know, you want to go through life with a biblical worldview, knowing what could be based on your position, or do you want to walk through life experiencing real holiness, real connection with God, being used by God? Jehovah Kadosh is who you need to praise. Praise Him for His sanctifying work in you. It's His work. We've covered that. Sanctification comes through the power of the Holy Spirit, which is Him sharing Himself with us. Okay? Praise Him for His work sanctifying. And He will. God will be to you who you praise Him to be. Going to say that enough times, you're going to remember it by the time we're done. The next one, Jehovah Shema. And this is to say God is present. Ezekiel 48, "All the way around shall be 18,000 cubits, and the name of the city that day shall be The Lord is There." He's present. We can praise the name Jehovah Shema for being present with us. What an honor it is to have Him with us. That He can be present in our lives. We talk about walking with God. This is Jehovah Shema. Him being present with us and walking with us. Look at Psalm 91. It says, "He who dwells in the secret place, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow, under the presence of the Almighty." Abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Walking with us, guiding us, protecting us under His shadow. That's Jehovah Shema. Do you feel His presence? Do you want His presence in your life? Do you want to walk with Him all day? Then praise His name. Hallow His name. Set it apart for praise. And praise Him for being your Jehovah Shema. Walk with me, Lord. You know, when you have His presence, then you have His protection. You have a hedge about you. You can praise Him for setting a hedge about your possessions and about your health and about your family. You know, notice verse 11. "For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." When you have the presence of God, He's also, all those angels and all that heavenly realm is charged to keep you in your heaven, in your ways. How cool is that? Next one is Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha is the God who heals. Exodus 15:26, it says, "And if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what's right in His sight and give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I'll put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." You know, so many people don't think about Jehovah Rapha until they're sick. And then they want to go to the healer and say, "Heal me." What are you waiting for? When you're beginning your first yom of prayer and you're praising God, praise Him right then for being your healer. You know, walk with Him in that. Thank Him for being your healer. Don't wait for sickness to get a foothold on you. Pray and praise Him now for being your healer. When you praise God for that, He becomes what you praise Him to be. How can sickness ever get a foothold on you if you are constantly praising God for being your healer? You don't give Satan a chance. By faith, we praise Him for healing for things that we don't even never even knew we had. They come and go. We don't even know we got them. Why? Because Jehovah Rapha is our healer. Praise Him for that. Express your gratitude that He's your healer and He maintains a healthy condition in your body. Praise His name. The next one, Jehovah Jireh. This is the God who provides, our provider.
Is that a song?
There might be a song about it. Genesis 22 says, "And Abraham called the name of the place, 'The Lord will provide.' As it is said this day, 'In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided.'" As you praise Jehovah Jireh, He becomes, like I keep saying, what you praise Him to be. So when you're hallowing His name, setting it apart for praise, praise Him that He's your provider, that He's your Jehovah Jireh. Magnify and lift Him up as the one that's provided all your needs, all your provision. Thank Him for being who He is. Father God, I praise You as my Jehovah Jireh. My God who provides all my needs. You're so faithful. And I praise You for all my provision. It doesn't take that long. Here's the last one. Jehovah Nissi. Now, Jehovah Nissi, we'll read in Exodus 17, Moses built an altar and called it his name, the Lord is my banner. Now, the word translated here to banner implies victory. God our victory. Jehovah Nissi. In Exodus 17, in the context of this here, in Exodus 17, the Israelites were fighting a battle with Amalek. Now, if you remember this story, as they watched the battle, when Moses would lift his hands, they would watch the battle, and the Israelites would prevail. If Moses dropped his hands, Amalek would prevail. So what did they do? They propped up his hands. Okay. But the point is, Jehovah Nissi provided victory as long as he held up his hands. Now, let's back up a little bit more. Amalek was the grandson of Esau. Now, you remember the story of Esau and his brother, when Esau went out and he got hungry and he came back, and what did he do? He was firstborn, and he sold his birthright for a bowl of porridge. Bowl of soup. And so Esau then became synonymous with the flesh. He became synonymous with putting the physical above the spiritual, selling his birthright for something physical, for physical substance. Okay? So, you know, what we get from that is when Moses held up his hands, Israel prevailed over Amalek, over the grandson of Esau, over what? The flesh. So as he held up his hands, they prevailed over the flesh, but when he let them down, the flesh prevailed. A lesson I want you to get from that, and it may be a little bit of a stretch, but I don't think so, is that's the way it is with us in prayer. And I have seen that so much in my life. And guys, understand, I'm preaching to myself. I am preaching to myself. And I'm getting it. And I'm excited about it. Because I've seen it before. When we have our hands lifted, symbolically, in prayer, we prevail. And when we slack off and we bring our hands down, the flesh prevails. And it's going to be that way. And you need to understand that. And you need to make sure that you're fighting that battle. Because if you're not, if your hands aren't up, you're losing. It's that simple. Jehovah Nissi is our victory. And so when we praise Him and hold Him up as our source of victory, what's He become? He becomes that to us. He becomes that to us again. So you want victory? Praise the Father. Praise Yahweh that He is your victory. Well, that's seven. And there's more, as you can see on the list. And maybe there's some there that would click with you more than that group. But you could even take these and you could go through and praise His names or titles like that, and it could take an hour if you just got really, you know, beat those prayers fine. Or you could use some of these to praise God's name during the first yom of your prayer and just take a few minutes, you know, just take a couple minutes. But we're coming to the Father in heaven, hallowing, setting apart His name for praise. And that puts us in a condition of being ready to go on with the rest of the prayer, you know. So you can do it in a small amount of time, or you can take a long time. And you know, you don't have any time restrictions on the Sabbath, do you? That's why there's the Sabbath. Because He says, you know, you got to stop. All right? But even on a daily basis, you can use these. But understand, prayer is labor. It takes time, and it takes effort. It takes a commitment to do it. Matthew 7 says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he's near. We're to ask, seek, and knock. Isaiah says, seek the Lord while he can be found. Look, seeking, knocking, asking, all of that is what? Labor. It requires effort, and it requires commitment. It requires setting aside our hang-ups, feeling weird about talking out loud to somebody that you can't see with your eyes. You should be able to see them with your heart and your mind. And having the faith to praise God for what he is and not for necessarily what you have seen him do yet. That's what we're talking about. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is our healer. He is our Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. We can praise him for those things even if we're sick. Even if we're destitute. Praise him for who he says he is, and he will become that to you. It takes faith to praise God for what he is rather than what you've seen him do. The whole point of the first yom of prayer is to approach God correctly and then praise him for who he is. You know, and using these names and titles like this is just one way of thinking about his characteristics and what we can praise him for. Okay? And as we praise him for the things we find in the Bible that he says he is, he'll become, that will become real in our life. Now, I've got another couple little things for you. One thing I want to talk about real quick is don't be afraid of preparation. It's okay to have notes. It's okay to think ahead of time about what you're going to say and write it down and get it straight in your head. It's okay to quote scripture. You see something that resonates with you and you say, you know, there's prayers in there. David prayed, and you might say, wow, yeah, I mean that too. And take that to God and say, you know, yeah, like David, Lord, create in me a clean heart. See, and that's okay. Write it down. It's okay to refer to these names of God to claim promises and think about those things. Prayer is our most important calling as a believer. So assign some time to it, prepare for it, and outline it. And when you think about things or even write notes about things ahead of time, it's meaningful to be prepared. You've got the content and you've thought through it. And it's effective. The Bible says the effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. Are you righteous? Yes, you're righteous. Are you righteous because of you? No, you're righteous because of the blood of Yeshua. You're righteous. And the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I want to illustrate now what this can look like. Now, I'm going to pray a first yom of prayer. Now, I'm not giving you words to say for you to copy me or whatever. I'm really illustrating a way to do this. I've already prayed this to the Father once this week, and I'll tell you that it opened up a time of prayer that was extremely cleansing. Intimate time of prayer. And you know what? I wrote it down ahead of time. And I presented it to him. It came from my heart. I wrote it. But I had it prepared. And as I thought about what I wanted to say to God, and then as I verbalized it to him, it was intense. It was. Does the fact that I read it make it any less of a prayer? No. Because it came from my heart. I'm the one that wrote it. Why can't we come before God prepared? Doesn't that make sense? You know, having our thoughts ready to share with him? Because, you know, when you do that, there's no rambling on. Or worse, like I've done. fall asleep in the middle of a prayer. What's that say to God? You come before the throne of God and go to sleep? I mean, you know, sometimes it happens. I get it. But you know, if we're prepared, if we know what we're going to say, if we know what we're doing, and we're talking to God, I've never fallen asleep praying to God verbally. When I'm speaking to God. You know, there's a saying, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And one thing you don't want to fail at is prayer. So I'd like to offer up this first yom of prayer and praise God's name. Let's just bow with me if you would. Father God, Abba Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one true creator God of all there is, was, and is to come. You are the great I Am, the self-existent one. You are Yahweh, the one true God, and there is no other. I come to you, Lord, through the blood of your Son and my Savior, Yeshua. I know that you can be that I cannot be. I know I can't be here in your presence with any sin, for you are holy and right and just. And I bear not my righteousness before your throne, before you, but that which by your grace you have provided me through your Son. It is with his white robe of righteousness that I come before your throne, O holy God. I praise your name, and I thank you for being my Jehovah Sidkana, that you have clothed me, Father, with the righteousness of your Son, that you are my Jehovah Shalom, and I praise you for all the peace of mind that I have in this life because of your great work, O God. I praise you that you are my Kadosh, that you sanctify my life and cause me to experience the result of holiness. Father, you are awesome and greatly to be praised for being my Jehovah Shema and walking with me and setting your angels about me. I thank you and praise you, Holy Father, that you're my Jehovah Rapha, that there is no disease in my body, and that you are my healer, and I praise and thank you for health and vitality. Help me, Lord, to use that strength for your purpose and to bring honor and glory to you. I need not worry about what I should eat or what I should put on, for I praise you, Heavenly Father, for being my Jehovah Jireh and providing, as every good daddy does, all that I need. You are so faithful, and I lift up your name and give you glory for all your plan, your purpose, and your provision in my life. And I recognize you as my Jehovah Nissi that provides all victory. For your plan and your purpose will prevail on this earth, and I thank you that you are my victory as well. You are awesome, Lord. Your name stands above all other names and is greatly to be praised. I lift up and praise the name of Yeshua, in whom I have life and live and have my being. For it is by the mighty name of Yeshua that I pray. And we'll say amen. But I went on. And when you have that first yom of prayer, and you approach God, and you hallow his name, and you praise him for being who he is, it's powerful. It's powerful. All of his characteristics are wrapped up in Yeshua. 2 Corinthians says, "For the Son of God, Yeshua the Messiah, who is preached among you by us, by me, Sila, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him is yes. For however many are the promises of God, for however many are the promises of God, in him is the yes. Therefore also through him is the amen to the glory of God through us." The first yom of prayer is approach and praise. Approach the Father and approach him in heaven at His throne, in the Holy of Holies. You have stepped into the secret place. Acknowledge before Him that you come only through the blood of the Lamb, and then hallow His name. Praise Him for who He is, and He will become that to you. Because why? God will be to you who you praise Him to be. You can use the names or titles of God like we kind of illustrated here, or you can find other promises and other attributes of God and just praise Him for them. That's the seven yomes of prayer. We'll continue with part two of the seven yomes next week. Until then, try to implement this first yom in your prayers. You know, when you have, and if you're not doing it, just start. Set aside a time. Make an appointment with God every day. Preferably, you know, right after your feet hit the floor. Find a secret place with Him. I mean, you know, if it's a prayer closet, it's a prayer closet. But go in it so that you can talk to God. And use this first yom to start that prayer this week. Find a way to glorify Him. And if you need to sit down, you know what? Listen, guys. I didn't show you this. I didn't know if I was going to. But this morning, I went downstairs and I sat for about an hour. And I thought about what I wanted to talk to God about so that I could be intentional. I hate to use that word because it's all out there, but it's good. I wanted to be intentional about what I wanted to talk to Him about. I wanted to have a good conversation with Him. I spent about an hour making notes to myself of what I wanted to cover with God. And it took well over an hour to deliver it. But it was such a meaningful, wonderful time of prayer. I wasn't in any hurry. It's Sabbath morning. I mean, I spent an hour getting it ready and over an hour in prayer. That's great. I can't do that every day. But, you know, what's that Sabbath for? It was wonderful. All right? So let's implement this first yom this week. We'll come back and we'll address however many next week. Maybe one, two, who knows? I don't know. But just remember, I'm going to say it one more time. God will be, say it with me. God will be to you who you praise Him to be. Amen? Amen.